think it's coming through.
Yeah, but it's not coming through out here in the auditorium.
Let me see if I turn that mic up.
The center mic?
Yeah.
I got the recorder in front of you too, Bob.
What number mic does that say?
Number two.
Two?
Hey, Ken.
Hey, Bob, say something now.
Say something now.
All right. How is everybody?
Could you sing a song or something?
Yeah, yeah, no, we're good.
I want to hear it. I want to hear that.
All right.
It wouldn't be pretty.
I think I could hear it through the speakers.
Just hear the number on the next phone. I'm supposed to know.
Well, I mean, we can hear him here for sure. I don't know.
As long as you guys can hear me, I'm
right.
Going to let you do all the talking. I mean,
you can?
Yeah.
All right. I guess they can hear you.
Yeah.
All right, it's 6 o'clock.
Can I hear that?
Okay, so 6 o'clock.
I think we, January 6th, town board meeting 2022. We'll start our work session at 6 p.m. And I see the first item is the fence law. I don't know who put that on, but let's talk about it.
Yeah, no, I put that on. I wanted to revisit this. We did talk about this a couple years ago. To me, talking with Jerry and talking with Al about the issues that we have in the town, about fences, we're the only town really without a fence law, right? So what we need to do is have a uniform fence law, so that way we don't have issues where people are putting up 20-foot fences around their houses, right, as we do today. We have permits for sheds, we have permits for garages, we need to have permits for fences, right? If you look around here, drive-through lysander, and I'm talking about in the residential neighborhoods, right? So obviously the AR-40s would be exempt, but as you drive around lysander, all you see are fences. We don't have a law that says you got to put the good side on such and such side. They have to be a certain distance from your property line to maintain them. And if you really want to get down to basics, look at all the money we're leaving on the table from assessments and also permitting fees. Because if I drive in my neighborhood, if I sample 10 houses, maybe 8 of the 10 have fences, right? So to me, we're leaving a lot of money on the table.
Okay, so I would say I agree that we should definitely look into a fence law. I don't think that money's the issue.
Money's not the driving factor, but
well, that's what I want to make clear.
Yeah.
To me, a fence law is going to stop somebody from putting a 20-foot fence 1 inch from their neighbor's property line. Then that's the right thing to do. To me, the money is. I'm not here to raise revenue off of somebody.
No, not at all. But you know, it's just additional revenue that would come in arbitrarily that we could use that for purchasing of other things that normally we wouldn't have gotten. So money is not the driving factor of it. No, it's more of a uniformity. It's more of a protecting your right as a homeowner, your property as a homeowner, to prevent those issues going forward. We see fences right now that are in culverts. We see fences that are actually on property lines of other neighbors. We see, and Al can contest, there's a lot of issues with fences. We see fences that are 20 feet tall in this town.
Right, and again, I don't have a problem with any of that.
Yeah.
I don't know what other people think about it. I think we should have uniform.
I agree.
So can I
suggest that I get you a couple of other fence laws in other towns? And my suggestion is we try to at least some night meet as a committee, because everybody's going to have different ideas about what they want. And it would take it forever to sit here and do it during a meeting. Have a committee work session some night for just the fence law.
Sure.
And we can go through it and say, okay, we like this, we don't like that. I'll get a couple from, you know, maybe Town of Clay, whoever around here is close.
Yep.
I don't know if Van Buren's got
one. Van Buren does have one.
Yep. So I'll get a couple of those. I'll print them out, give them to everybody. Everybody take a look at them. We'll set up a time for a meeting and we'll go through it.
Sounds good. I appreciate it.
Gotta
Thank
have
you.
A public hearing. Obviously.
Of course, yeah. Okay.
Does the village have a
Do you know Pete?
The village has fence laws.
Okay, yeah. We might want to look at the village. You know, one of the things I'd like to do is try to keep things. So many people associate the village. You see so many questions, and it's like, oh, that's a village issue. That's a town issue. I'd like to see how much we can actually incorporate together so people have an idea of what the codes are and what the rules are. You know, oh, the guy across the street can have this, but I can't.
Right. No, that makes sense. And, you know, it's just another source anyhow. I mean, we would still want to look at other towns, but...
Yeah, we'll get that together. Thanks, Tony, for that idea.
That's good. Okay.
All right, I'm happy.
Good. Second item is official town correspondence, social media presence, COVID kits.
Yeah, I put that on there. Bob, did you want to... I'm sorry. It's hard with you not in the room to know if you wanted to say anything or not.
I'm not sure. Was it just about the correspondences in general? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, I didn't know. I just wanted to make sure, because I put it on the agenda. I was just going to explain. You know, last week we got some kits. We handed them out. I had talked to Jeff. I wasn't on the town board yet. I just didn't know how we were relaying it to the public. And, you know, it was just concerning to me that we had a town councilor that didn't know we had them, that we were being distributing them. And it's just, if somebody called and said, hey, did you know we have them? It's like, no, and the town was distributing them, so I felt that everybody should be in the know. Of course, that being said, Bob asked me today, we're getting some more COVID test kits in. And he asked me, he said, you know, you didn't, you know, look, do you want to take the lead on it with Bob's current, you know, issue? So I said, sure. And, you know, being tomorrow's Friday, I just felt Saturday morning would be an opportune day to distribute kits. We're not getting, we probably got less than 100. So we're not getting a lot of them. But I felt Saturday morning, people that might have worked during the week or during the day have an opportunity to come down and grab one if they need it. And Bob told me they did like one per household last time. And we also have N95 masks to distribute with the kits. So I just felt that we need to work into more of an official correspondence. We've got the town website. I know Dina runs a town clerk page on Facebook. You know, maybe this goes into having more, I am not on Twitter. I'm not, you know, I mean, do we want to look at a presence to let more people know?
So what's your plan, let's say the COVID kits, what's your plan to let more people know? Like, well, by Saturday, that's what, I mean.
Right, I know every other town is going to start distributing them probably today as soon as they got them. I just wanted to get them out as soon as possible given the pandemic. It's just going to be sort of what Bob did, set up out in the front of town hall and distribute the kits we have till they're out. I just want to have the public to have a better knowledge of everybody knowing.
My only recommendation too is if, obviously you have to put this out there, can we just put a little disclaimer, if you have symptoms, stay home. Please don't come in here as your test kit. You know, this is not your testing site. Don't get a kit. We don't want what happened to Mr. Wicks to happen to us, right? So please, I would put that disclaimer out there. Symptoms, stay home. Don't come here. This is not your testing center.
And I did tell people that when they called and they said, well, I got symptoms and I want a test kit. And I told them exactly that. Don't be coming into town hall if you have.
You're right. No, of course. Yeah. No, I'm sure. Yeah.
The thing is, when we handed out 300, a few more than 300, but around 300 test kits, as well as about 1,000 face masks or 1,500, and we did that to within 3 hours, and it was very organized, and it was very, you know, people were waiting in line. If, you know, you get to outside sources, and plenty of people knew about it. We had people that came in from out of town that knew about it. So we must have done a halfway decent job of getting the information out. And we only had 300. So we wanted to get them out. We wanted to get them to as many people as we could, you know, right away. And
so
3 hours, we got 300 out. We did it on... Home Heart Community, which is a local Facebook page. We did it on our website. It was advertised on the news, and we had a number of people calling. So we had, I can't say how many, but dozens of people calling, and we told them we were going to hand them out the next day. You know, I don't know if what more we should have done when we got rid of them in 3 hours. If we had 3,000 of them, that's a different story. But with only 300, I didn't want to run into the type of situation like we had, or like Clay had, where they had a mile-long backlog of cars lining up down the road and were coming from the city, coming from Cicero, coming from Oswego. So, I mean, as far as getting the word out, you know, with only 300, say we got the word out to 23,000, what good would that have done?
Right. So. Yeah, I understand that. It's just a matter of, you know, that was just one issue. In the future, if we have something along these lines, you know, I'm talking about, you know, it was fine what happened. It was just not knowing about it. I just feel the elected officials should have an idea that it happened, whether it's a text, an email, oh, we got these kits, we're going to distribute them tomorrow, just so people are in the know. That's all.
We all done on that?
A couple things to add. So we got 720 kits today. We did not get any more masks. So I don't know what our mask supply is, but I do not believe we have as many. We don't have many masks, N95 masks left, but we do, like I said, we have 720 test kits.
720 we got today?
Yeah,
they're all by his office door.
So when did we know that we were going to get 720 kits?
Yesterday.
Lisa Dell showed up with them this afternoon at 4 o'clock. I don't think anybody knew.
She just showed up?
Yeah.
Okay. So
when did we know we were getting more kits?
I might not even know we got that many.
I got the email yesterday.
We got 720 today.
Well, I was told I got the first rate.
Right.
Yeah.
They told me we're getting 90. Who picked them up?
Lisa Dell dropped them off, and so that's sort of frustrates me a little bit, because since COVID started, that's the way things have been, right? An hour later it's this, and then, you know, what do you put on social media? What do you say? You say you got 99, you got 99 kits, and you end up with 720, and then you know, you look like the fool for not knowing that you got 720 until Lisa Dell shows up and drops a case of them off at your doorstep.
And that's great that we got more
kits.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Because
absolutely.
They, you know, I mean, I'm hoping to have some, because not only are we concerned with the community, we're concerned with our workers.
Right,
that
absolutely.
We need to keep the town running. So, you know, that was, you know, when we had talked this afternoon, we didn't know we were getting that many, which is great. You know, we can split up the mass to do the best we can.
You never know how many you're going to have until you get them. It's
so
plain and simple.
How many masks do we have left? Last I checked, we had about 2,000. We don't have.
Yeah, that's what Al said.
I don't know exactly where we're at.
Around there.
I know Nancy has been handing them out when people ask for them at the tax receiver window.
We have two. We have a box and a half left.
What's in a? I don't know what's in a box.
It's like 50 in a bag, so there's probably like 6 bags in a box.
There's 50. There's 50 in a bag, 500 in a box.
Okay, so we might have enough.
It's 750.
Yeah,
distribute a mask with each.
So, are we clear?
Yeah. The email I got today, and that was I got it this morning. It said you can pick up your kits between 1 and 2:30, and you're going to get 90 test kits. That's what it said. Mm-hmm. And now we got 750. So, you know, I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, it's better off. We're better off having more than not that many. But that's the problem. I don't know where they came up with 750 when I was told 90.
Well, communicating it—that's the problem. How can you communicate the information that you A don't know, or B is constantly changing?
You can't.
So, are we clear?
If Lisa dropped off those 750, we might. Tim Wolsey was supposed to pick. I'll check with him. He was supposed to go and pick those up for me, the 90. So I don't know if it's 750 plus 90 from Tim, but I'll check with him.
So what is our game plan? Tonight is Thursday. All day Friday. Kevin, are you in charge of this?
I don't have time tomorrow, and I didn't know how comfortable the town employees would be with people coming in. My plan Saturday was to have people set up inside, and I would go out, hand out door to door. Of course, I thought I only had 100 kids. This wasn't, but I'll appreciate any help.
I did see something on social media already about them being distributed on Saturday.
Right. I said Saturday at 9 a.m. is what
I... Art, Home, and Community already put a thing out there.
And Dina put it on the website because that was
the time I
had.
9 o'clock.
9 o'clock.
So is somebody going to unlock Town Hall? I mean,
Why don't we just do it from the curb? You pull up, hand them to the kids.
That was my plan.
How much quicker can
I just have, right.
Can you
somebody...
check the weather, Al?
Yeah, just...
All
right. Yeah. So and have the boxes right out there and
cold. It gets
cold
out there.
That's why. So I got...
I'm impervious to the cold.
All right, so Saturday, 9 a.m., Kevin Road.
14 degrees out Saturday.
I've been in worse.
I can put in a couple hours.
I've been out hunting when the phone quits working because it's minus 6. It's okay. 17's a good day.
I can put in a couple hours.
Okay.
I mean, I was here last Saturday a couple.
Yeah. I mean, I could say 11:30. That was,
about the time we were running out.
Good.
All right. The next item
in my phone.
Is...
I'm just verifying that thing. I got it from Tanisha Murphy today, and she said she got 92 pack at-home kits.
Hey, Bob. I sent a box in Nancy's closet for employees that show symptoms. If you want, I can take that back out.
When you say a box, was that the box from Woolsey?
Yes.
Okay, so, and then we got another 750?
So that's 90 in a box times 8 boxes. Is 720 kits, and then we have another box of 90 in the closet.
With 90 in a 720 with 90 in the closet.
Yes.
I don't think we need 90. I would say, maybe keep.
You got the highway guys too, Bob.
What's that?
The highway guys. Don't forget about the highway guys and all the supplementals. So you got 18 guys over there.
Yeah. All right. As long as we got that many. But they really wanted them to be passed out to the community. So I would say keep, say one for each employee. So you're probably talking about 50 of them, and then take the rest and then add them to the census.
Are we good?
Unless someone wants to do something different, if everybody else wants to keep them, but I'd like to see as many go out to the community as we can get out.
Yeah, I'm for that. I just
as
want
many
to
as
make
we
sure.
Get out, I agree. As many as we can get out.
I just wanted
out.
To know
we,
where the box was, Bob.
All right. Can we move on to the next item on the work session agenda? Is department head attendance at town board meetings?
That
must be Kevin.
That was another one of mine. Do we have, only being on, this is my first time on the board, do we have a normal, schedule for department heads? I know Teresa, the assessor, comes normally. Obviously, Dina's here every meeting. We have we work for the public. I'd like to have department heads. I mean, I'd like to see a codes report given to the public besides the monthly report that gets put up on the Facebook page. I think people need to see the work that we're doing for them and what their tax dollars are going towards. And it's not, I'm not saying you got to come monthly. I mean, a quarterly report given to the town board, maybe there's issues. Maybe we could find out from Tim that, a lot of people complain about fences and it puts stuff on our radar by having him at a board meeting with all of us at it to, take something in and get information from a department head, or it allows the public to, maybe they have a question for a department head, and if they know codes officers come in, they might have a question about a fence or, an issue they've noticed that might help the town board see that and try to address it.
I mean, my opinion on that is if there's, you know, maybe depending on the department, like the Parks Department normally attends because there's always something to say from the Parks Department's perspective to the community. We've never had the codes enforcement officer here, to the best of my knowledge, so that person showing up on an irregular basis, maybe quarterly, maybe biennially, biennially would work. And if there are other departments that we want, that someone is clued into that, we, you know, we haven't heard from such and such person, like Teresa Golden does not show up at every meeting. She, you know, when there's a report, an assessor report to make or something in that realm, she shows up. But I mean, personally, I think it's not a bad thing, but I wouldn't do it on a every 2 week basis.
Right, no.
Anything else on that? So,
these department heads, I meet with them pretty regularly, and if they have something, then I ask them to come. But if they're just going to come and say they don't have anything,
right,
we have to pay them, you know, sense of paying them and taking time out of their time off when they don't have anything to say and there's no issues being brought to the office. If we know that there's something, like with Teresa, I'll ask her, hey, can you come tonight? The comptroller, same thing. The comptroller, when I know there's going to be an issue or I know something's going up that may be a little bit more, need a little bit more in-depth explanation than I can give them, then I ask the comptroller to come. A lot of times I can answer the questions. But that's the reason for that. I just didn't, I try to give them, I don't wait for time and I don't want to waste money by just having them just sit in the crowd. But you want to have them there, Pedro? I'm not opposed to it.
Well, you meet with them regularly, like you said, right, Bob?
Yes.
Yeah, so if there's an issue, we've never had a problem getting a department head here if we needed one. But if there's an issue going on...
No, if a board member wants them there, I tell them, look, you know, there's an issue going to come up. Can you come tonight? They come. I mean, if we want to have them there, you know, like with Teresa, I asked her to show up a little bit more regularly because people need to understand their assessments and how they work, and especially during assessment time and things like that. So last year, I think she was at least four of our meetings, if not more. But the codes, I can't remember too many issues with codes where people came in and asked anything. Like Bob said, Parks always has something going on, and people are interested in Parks. Whatever you decide to do, I think it's a problem. But that was the thought process behind why they didn't show up at every meeting.
Right, and that's, I understand the paying for it part, and I also look at it as if somebody comes quarterly at one board meeting, it's probably an hour and a half, and I believe we still have comp time and other scenarios of how that works for paying someone. But I just think that when I look at the codes report every month on the town website, it lacks detail. I don't know if anybody else has ever looked at the codes report. You know, permits issued. Was it a permit for a deck? Was it a house permit? I mean, it tells you how many houses were built. It tells you the value, but it doesn't tell you what we're working on. Are a bunch of people building decks? Do we have a deck lot? Do we have codes? And I think a lot of that stuff is we sit here and we decide the laws for the town, and you know, we go through to give advice to planning boards or zoning boards and sit in public hearings. We should have a knowledge of what's going on in the town and what's happening. You know, pools, do we have these rules? These are all things I will be honest, I've never looked into a lot of those stuff because I've never lived where I've needed to use that. But, you know, we might find out from getting a normal report from our codes officer about issues we have in the town and things that we might be able to resolve. That's all. And I think an hour every, you know, two or three months isn't strenuous to ask.
We get to that.
And, you know, and maybe, Kevin, now that you're on the town board, one of the things you can do is sit with Tim Woolsey and just go over all of those reports and see if you can get a set of a kind of an understanding of just what he's been doing. And maybe something will come up that, you know,
sure.
we ought to talk about that in public. Sure, that would be great.
Right. No, that's fine.
All righty. We're not going to talk about the chicken lot. Rundage Road issues.
Yeah. That was another one of mine. I was driving home on a Sunday in November, and, you know, the trucks were out to 60 Road across from the hockey rink, and then I went up right up to the guard shack where they were letting people in, and they were having, supposedly they do inventory, and they don't let trucks on the yard. And I am about at my wit's end of why that's a town problem. When I don't see McLean having trucks out in the road, I don't see any other big companies have trucks sitting out in the road. Gypsum, he's got more trucks than I can even count. He seems to have enough property to keep any business he has in his property. So I want to understand how this becomes a town problem.
Well, just so. I've been working on that since, well, the whole year, actually. And the plant manager and I are close to coming up with a solution to the, well, what we hope is a solution to the parking problem out there. The thing on in November, that was a one-off, because what happened was, because of COVID and things like that, a lot other than Budweiser was going to close down for Thursday and Friday that week. So in a extra ordinary amount of trucks came in those 2 or 3 days. So that's like a one-time deal. But right now, what we're working on, the plant manager is working with Gypsum Express to rent some property so that the trucks, while they're waiting, can go over on the property. And that'll hold up to 50 trucks. Well, 50 trucks, that'll probably take care of our problem. I don't think there was more than 50 trucks at any time I've ever seen it over there. Probably close, but I don't think it would be more. 50 trucks are a lot of trucks. What they're also doing is they're getting in some additional set of scales, so when they pull in, they'll have, my understanding, it's going to be either two sets of scales or quick scales or something like that, be able to weigh the trucks more quickly. Once they get that set, and the issue of the trucks being out on the road is solved, we're gonna work at how we're gonna clean up that area. You know what? And I'm trying to get Budweiser to do bulk of that. We'll probably, what I would suggest to them is that we would get our highway trucks that they utilize. They got the personnel to clean the area like we did in the spring. And but like with any big organization, the plant manager, although he's a lot of authority, a lot of responsibility, he doesn't have the authority to write contracts. That has to come through St. Louis, and like anybody knows that's worked for any big company, sometimes the wheels move slow, almost as slow as government, but not quite. So that is something that I haven't talked to him this past week, but I talked to him last week, and with the holidays and things were moving a little slower, so I was going to give him till Monday and give him a call back and see where we're at with those contracts. That's where we are right now.
Okay.
But hopefully that situation could come to a resolution, you know, if they're able to make an arrangement with Gypsum Express.
Okay, I stopped and talked to the transportation director of the school district that day. The second time it happened, which was, I think, what was it, a Monday afternoon I called you? It might have been the next day or 2 days later. And he said, I asked him, you know, just rough base, in the last year, better or worse? And he said it had gotten worse. So, you know, we really need to, you know, get the hammer down on InBev. And that, you know, and the refuse on the side of the road is ridiculous. And if it's on their property, that, you know, Town of Salina didn't have any problem. We had a scrap yard up the road from Solvents and Petroleum, and everybody would dump their tires on our property. And Town of Salina had no problem writing us tickets, even though we weren't the one dumping tires. And I know it's a terrible thing to do, but we need to have something. It's not getting better, and it shouldn't be up to the town to take care of a business's problem in that regard.
Well, I think that the plant manager has been very willing to try and work this situation out. And like I said, this problem's been going on for a lot more than 1 or 2 years since I've been here. That's, you know, Gene Dinsmore talked about it. He was going back to 2015.
Right. So, and then the town board, I never heard him discuss it. And that's where it falls on us.
I don't know what the town board did in the past, but I know we've had numerous discussions about it in the past year. The problem for us and the problem for a lot of people, COVID slowed a lot of this stuff down. People being out of work, just like I'm out of work, and I'm waiting for my test. They have the same type of problems. But I think we're close to coming to a resolution. When you talk about putting the hammer down, I'm not in favor of that. I think that Budweiser is a good neighbor. I think they provide a lot to the community, and certainly we would have a lot more to lose if they left than worrying about a dirty road. So I think that sometimes, you know, putting a hammer down isn't really the best course of action to take. I think you get a lot more with honey, and I think the way that they've been willing to work with us is, they're just showing that they're trying to work it out too. They're frustrated as well. We don't want to, we have talked about doing different things over this past year, about maybe, putting up no parking signs and things like that. Problem with that, now what do you cause? Now you push them out from that area, maybe down onto Phillips Street, you push them out onto West Century Road, out onto Henkel Boulevard, which aren't even town roads, they're county roads, so we don't even have control of that. Right now we have a little bit of control, and it seems to be working forward. If we go, if it continues on and we can't work something out, I think maybe we can take a more militant and authoritative action towards Budweiser, but I think the town has a lot more to lose than we have to gain by getting tough with InBev. And it's not like a family-owned company anymore. InBev is an international company, and they don't care about people in the United States. They're just there to make money. It's not the Bush family from St. Louis anymore. So I think that as long as they're willing to make some and try to work this problem out, which they are, then I think we should try and work it out with them, and without trying to get to be the tough guys, because I think that would come back. In this instance, I think they're the one with the big hammer, not us.
Right, but at the end of the day, McLean's a big company too. And I don't see trucks waiting to get in McLean. So
I don't know what the situation is with McLean. I don't know what the how they do their business, whether they have their own trucks or anything. With Budweiser, I can tell you that they do business, and it's not the plant manager that makes the contract. Like I said, it's St. Louis. So what St. Louis did was they went from Gibson Express, who used to do a lot of their hauling for them, they went to a more private carrier type of situation. Well, if you go out there, these individuals that are in these trucks, most of them don't even understand English. Many of them, it's obvious from the language that they're speaking, they're from third world countries. So in third world countries, what do? They throw garbage alongside the road. That's what we have. We're talking about putting cameras out there. There's a number of things that we're looking at doing that could come back on the drivers to cut down on this problem. But I think that proposed a resolution. I think we should let it work itself out, see where it goes over the next few months.
Okay. The only thing I have to add to that is, yes, I understand they're using independent contractors, but they're not letting them on their yard. So it becomes, they park on our side of the road because of hours of service, or they're waiting for a dock time. There's not a truck depot to go to sit at. So it becomes a town problem. And, you know, pallets and the junk that's on the side of the road, I'm sure InBev makes them have a clean trailer coming in. So they can't have anything on it if they go across the scales to go to get loaded. I don't know the process there, but I'm just guessing. And that means that while they got 3 hours to sit, they go and dump their trailers out on the side of our road. And that, to me, they should be allowed on the property. And I don't know if there's laws that govern why InBev won't allow them on the property, but if you're doing inventory, that doesn't mean you got to open the dock door to that guy. He can roll up to a dock and they don't have to open the door. Why those 50 trucks sit on town roads doesn't make sense to me.
Well, like I said, they're trying to work that out.
Okay.
They're working it out with Gibson Express, and you know, I think we should give them time to work that contract out. And if they work that contract out, now they will have a place to go and they won't have to wait on the road. And let's see how that works. Maybe that'll take care of the problem. But I can tell you right now that it isn't just, now, when I say this, the majority of the problem, I believe, is the trucks that are parked alongside the road. But those trucks aren't dumping chairs and couches and car tires and things like that. That's other people. That's other people in general. Slobs that are just coming down that road because it's a deserted road and they're dumping their garbage. You know, I don't know who that is, but we're trying to work on that as well.
Right. So, you know, what my reaction to this is since I've been on the board since 2014, and, you know, I'll take some of the blame here too, but we have never addressed Brundage Road. So, kudos to Mr. Wicks on this, and let's just see how this whole thing pans out over the next few months.
It's obviously a more complicated problem than, you know, just going up and knocking on the gates and saying, hey, let the trucks in, knock this off.
Right.
It's obviously more complicated than that, and if we've been working on it for a year or so,
yeah,
not to mention people who went over there and cleaned everything up, the volunteers and the community and board members that showed up to clean the road.
Oh, and
if the supervisor, through a year's worth of effort, feels as though
they wanted the update,
he's getting close to. I don't know if it's a solution or an improvement,
right,
or an improvement working towards a solution, whatever it is. I mean,
it's
being worked on,
No, it didn't.
And I'm glad, again,
I think there's
but obviously it's more complicated than...
Sure, and I don't want to see the efforts of the community be spoiled, you know.
I know,
you
I'm
did
one
it,
of the community,
and
I know,
within
I
4 months, it,
it
was right back to
unless
where
unless
you send
a second and we'll pop up.
I get it, Kevin. Like I said, I was one of
the
ones sloshing around.
But you're the host.
That road,
I am, but I'm not the host on that machine.
And that Sunday, you know, those 3 days that occurred, you could not drive to Radisson from Hinkle Boulevard without being in the oncoming lane. And
right. The
Monday or Tuesday I went out, there was actually a sheriff that nobody here called him. I don't know if somebody else called or he just happened to be driving down the road. He had to set up at McLean Drive and tell people to go down Brundage, which wasn't really much safer. A lot of people, you know, that's a sharp curve that a lot of people take way faster than they should. There's no time to react if somebody's on the wrong side of the road. That's all. And then it becomes a bigger
town. I share your
problem.
Frustration. That's what I'm telling you. I share your frustration, and a lot of people do.
And the school district shouldn't have to put up with not being able to get their buses down a road because that costs us money. More gas to go around the block. And, you know,
I get it.
So I think we're all in agreement. We have a situation that needs to be rectified. I'm hearing that some progress is being made, and if it was, and I think we just need to give it, you know, the few months or so that it's
let it work its course.
Let it work its course, and then
and
if at that
it,
point,
and then adjust. And,
yeah,
you know,
and if it doesn't work, then we have to take the next step because everybody is in agreement that Brundage Rose is the way it's working now is not appropriate. All right.
Yeah.
I have one other work session item that I would just like to bring to just discuss briefly, but does anybody else have anything?
Nope.
No, I'm good.
Mr. Svitek, how was your first week of work?
It's going well.
Good, because I got more work for you. So the thing that I wanted to just, I'm not giving you work, but I just wanted to just bring up to the attention of the board, and we've talked about this before, but my sense about you is that, you know, you'll get right on this. In the organizational meeting chart, there are only two things that are, that in terms of what we charge the public that are in here. So for example, on page 9, there's a price for millings that we charge. I'm guessing organizations that come to our yard will load them and we charge them that. And then on page 16, there's a driveway permit, which I don't think has anything to do with you. That's a codes thing. What I know, and I think what we all know, and it's been frustrating to me because I don't know if it's in writing anywhere, but we do a lot of other stuff. We put in culvert pipes in front of people's driveways. When we're in the vicinity and we've got a truck full of road millings that, as far as we're concerned, is trash, and someone wants them, we'll dump them in somebody's yard, and we charge for them, which is appropriate. In fact, I was going to buy some this fall, but I decided not to. I did that privately. So my point to you is not tomorrow, not next week, but in your tenure over the next several weeks and months, would you take a look at all the things you do, and then come back to us and say, folks, here's a variety of things that we do. And I'm going to guess that it's not going to be all that black and white. So for example, I'll use road millings or fill as an example. If you're on such and such road and some neighbor wants that, it's not going to cost you anything to dump it in their yard. And it's actually going to do you a favor. But you should still charge for it. Whereas if you have to drive 5 miles to dump that or go to your yard and bring it someplace, that's different. So I'm fully expecting you to come to us with a scenario that says, you know, it's not as easy as you think, but here's all the stuff we do. And so, you know, when someone is building a house and they have to put a culvert in under the the road, you do it. If they want there must be a parameter. If they want a 15-foot culvert, it should cost this. If they want a 30-foot culvert, it should. So I don't know if that's in writing anywhere. So would you just check?
Yes. I just want to make a comment about the driveway thing. Where that relates to my position is actually being there to see where the driveway is meeting the road. Mm-hmm. Is it on a blind curve? Is there is it going to be on a high spot in the road, or is it going to create a problem with, drainage for the next guy or the guy downhill? Just recovering all those fees for those driveways that
you
haven't talked to
long. Yeah. So just take a look at, it's just me talking, asking you to do this. I don't know what the other board members think, but I think it's appropriate to just let the community know this is our program, this is what we do. Mm-hmm. And so there's no misconception or misunderstanding or concern of, oh, why is that person getting that, or why is, And if you can do that over the next few months, that would be great. I don't know if anybody else has anything to add to that.
I don't.
Great. If nobody has anything else to add to the work session, we'll call it at an end at 6:43, and we'll be doing at 7 p.m. for the board meeting.